Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and after a bit of a week off, we did a really kind of impactful interview with a good friend of the show, Trey Watkins, on kind of what's going on in America right now. If you're interested in that sort of thing, go back and check that out. But we move on. We might have some a touch of that today, not to that extent, but I do want to touch on some NFL news before we get into our main topic today, which is Brandon, also known as All AZ Baby, on Twitter, writer for Overtime Heroics, and I want to say a budding friendship. We have talked and we agree on Kyler Murray, so
yes, sir.
So let's say budding friendship and friend.
Yes, Brandon. Absolutely.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Hello, everybody. How are you guys all doing? I'm excited to be here. Can't wait to talk some football.
Absolutely. Well, I'm curious. There just aren't that many Arizona Cardinals fans that I find on Twitter, which is crazy because I live in Salt Lake City, Utah. So you'd think that through all the people that I follow because of Pac-12 and things like that, that there would be some sort of overlap. But it just doesn't really exist to me. So I just wanted to ask you a few basic Arizona fan questions. Are you from Arizona?
Yes, I was born in Arizona. I've lived here for 19 years. And yeah, I've all Arizona sports. It's in the name. All AZ, baby. That's...
Where in Arizona yet?
I am from Mesa, Arizona. It's pretty close to Gilbert. It's more East Mesa, but yeah.
Is that kind of near the Colorado border? A little bit?
No, it's in the valley.
Okay.
It's in the valley. Yeah, it's not outside. So it's just basically in Phoenix. It's Phoenix, Arizona, but it's Mesa. It's a smaller city.
Gotcha. Well, that's fantastic. I am from Salt Lake City, Utah, so close to Arizona. I have been to Arizona all of like one time. The Grand Canyon, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But I just can't find excuses to get down there. I wanted to go to like Arizona State, but it was just otherworldly expensive out of state.
Yeah.
So I never even got down there for a visit, but I would love to visit Phoenix/Tempe sometime because it would.
Yeah, Tempe's a lot nicer than downtown Phoenix. Downtown Phoenix just has some hotels, but yeah, Tempe's a really cool place to visit. And yeah.
So hard hitting questions now. Is the sports arena getting to situation as bad as everyone says it is?
All right. So, well, a majority of people live in the East Valley. So the East Valley is Tempe, Mesa, Gilbert. That's where I'm from. And the Arizona Cardinals and the Arizona Coyotes they play in the East Valley, which is near Glendale, which is where they do reside. So Cardinals games aren't the biggest issue, especially if it's a Sunday. Because if there's no rush hour traffic, there's no big deal. It is a little far. It's about an hour and a half from the east to go from the west to the east. So it is a bit of a drive. But for the weekday Coyote games, always like 3-4 hours to get there. It's ridiculous.
That does sound ridiculous. And the poor Coyotes for just years and years, just zero fans. And for once, they looked okay this year. Look at the acquisition of Taylor Hall and such. Mm-hmm. Looking like an interesting team. They did make the playoffs, though. So that is a plus. Who did they get in the abbreviated first round?
They got the Nashville Predators. Ooh. And they do outstat them in a lot of important things like power play, penalty kill, defense, and goaltending. They just need to get their offense going.
Sneaky good series because you got the tremendous postseason experience of the Predators.
Exactly.
Against the Phoenix Coyotes. I'm going to
Arizona Coyotes.
Arizona Coyotes now. I'm going to hardcore disagree on goaltending. I think Pecorino and UC Saros are much better than Mike Smith, right?
No, it's Darcy Kemper and Antti Raanta. Oh. Both are amazing. They both have like under 3 goal allowed averages.
See, I'm a hockey fan. I love hockey. But I'm like a...
Yeah, it's hard to follow the Coyotes. You don't see anything about them. Like, don't worry about it. I get it.
Like, for NFL, like, I never get one sport, one team fans in NFL because I just think there's so few games. It's so easy to consume all the teams. Why would you not follow every single team?
But I basically do in the NFL, but I just...
Right. Yeah. Let me get to my point.
Sorry.
But hockey, I totally see the whole one fan thing because I am a diehard Colorado Avalanche fan, but I like know zero to nothing about the Arizona Coyotes other than Taylor Hall got traded to them and Phil Kessel is on the team.
Phil Kessel, yes, sir.
Phil Kessel is on the team. And didn't they get Dion Phaneuf? Is he a king still?
No, I think he's a king. But also the Coyotes have some sneaky guys like Derek Stepan, who was big for the Rangers.
Oh, they've got Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I know him.
Larson, yeah. They got Jalmerson. They have Alex Goligoski. They have all these guys that were pretty good on their other team. They just need to work together, and who knows what could happen.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So, what do you think about that series, if you had to give me a prediction?
Well, more than likely, I'm going to assume they're going to come out flat-footed. It's a best of five, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going Nashville 3-2.
Yeah, I would probably go to five, probably, more than likely. The Coyotes always play good away for some reason. Keep in mind, 2011, they had this exact same series, Coyotes-Predators, Coyotes won. So it is going to be a rematch.
From 2011, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the last time the Coyotes were in the playoffs. Yes, I know. I know it doesn't. It's not that big of a deal, but that was the last time we were in the playoffs.
No, I'm just giving you crap, man. Well, that is good to know. So how do you lean college football-wise?
You know, it's been hard for me to be a big college football guy. I've really stepped it up these last couple of years. I do support ASU, which is where I'm probably going to end up going. I'm currently at a community college, but I'm going to end up going to ASU.
Oh, good choice going to community college. I, too, am a community college to university transfer. That's a smart move. Good job.
No, good job to you, too, man. But, yeah, ASU, definitely. I think they are on the rise in the Pac-12. I know the Pac-12 is not the best division in the in college football, but they are on the rise, in my opinion.
Good choice in Arizona State, by the way. Arizona is just terrible to root for. I can't stand their stadium or the way their uniforms look.
Tucson's gross too. I've never been to Tucson. I don't plan on going to Tucson.
Yeah, and I mean, Kevin Sumlin, like, give me a break. That guy, you're trying to tell me this repurposed, washed out SEC coach still got it somehow? Whatever, man. Get out of here. Khalil Tate, man. That was remember when people were like, remember when people were like, oh man, Khalil Tate, he's just going to change the way college football is played.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that? No, Jaden Daniels is much better. I would argue Jaden Daniels is like slightly under Keaton Slovis. I think they're much closer than a lot of people.
Do you hear what Colin Cowherd said?
What did he say?
He said something that Jaden Daniels will be the first overall pick one day.
I could totally see it. He's got like the otherworldly, like Mahomes type arms.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's got the size, the speed, the mobility. Yeah, it's just like that's the archetype of QBs that NFL teams need to go after.
It's kind of crazy that he was a freshman last year.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
He beat Washington. Like, he beat some – I mean, I know it's the Pac-12, but still.
I think low-key Arizona State needs to be, like, kind of up there to be the favorite to win the South this year. I just buy into them. I'm going to do like – I'm not a huge college football guy. I work here at a local sports radio station, so that primarily covers college football. So I'm trying to get way more into it and educated. So I've been doing like roster studies and stuff. And, man, ASU looks pretty good. Looks pretty good on paper. I know nothing about most of these guys, but it looks like they've got an old defense. And from what I hear – as long as you're old in college football, that probably means you're not terrible. So as long as the defense isn't terrible and Jaden Daniels is there, man, I like Herm Edwards. So as a college
Herm Edwards is really he's kind of turned that team around over the past couple of years. I'm wondering, it's exciting to see what comes of it. They were ranked at one point this year.
Obviously exciting and this whole transition. Eno Benjamin drafted to the Cardinals as well.
Absolute steal.
So I want to start there because I do a projected starter series every year. I don't know if you've seen any of that. Some of it I've put on the OTH website. Some of it I haven't yet. I think that Benjamin's going to be kind of a running back two for them. I sneaky think that he could unseat Kenyon Drake by the end of the year. Is that crazy to think?
That's fair.
Is that crazy to think, though? Or is that like
– You never know because last year I saw a lot of promise from Chase Edmonds before he went down. He really stepped up and outsnapped David Johnson, which is actually what led to David Johnson just not playing because Chase Edmonds, I think he had that game against the Giants where he had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, he has some moments. I just with him, I just like I worry about consistency because like some weeks he'll be great and then other weeks he'll totally disappear.
Yeah, and then also with Kenyon Drake, the way he finished the season, I think it was six rushing touchdowns in 3 games. I think that's what the stat was. He had 3 against the Browns, then he had 4 against the Browns, then he had that big game against Seattle. So I don't know. I think their running game is going to be great next year.
Yeah. It's a little bit boom or bust, though. I will say that, play devil's advocate.
That is fair.
I think it's kind of Kenyon Drake, Eno Benjamin, and Chase Edmonds. Well, I can't say anything about Eno Benjamin yet because we haven't seen him play, but Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds just seem like kind of really boom or bust players, which is always a thing. Ah! This is terrible. I should have written out an outline because I've been meaning to get to more news recently. I want to talk about 2 brief NFL news items with you, if that's okay, from other teams other than the Cardinals. Dalvin Cook reportedly holding out. What do you think about that? And do you think that this lasts into the season, or do you think I get a deal done before the season starts?
Well, you know, Dalvin Cook is a special guy, but what have we learned over the years? Don't pay a running back. And I feel like the problem with some of these running backs, they ask for too much money. They think they're Adrian Peterson-type running backs. I don't know. The Vikings have Alexander Mattison. I feel like they can afford to give up Dalvin Cook if they need to.
Yeah, I don't – I really didn't understand it, like, when I saw that report, because he has literally zero leverage. Like, he's injury-prone. He has been injured for, like, 3 to 5 games every single year of his career. Every single year of his career, he's missed at least 3 or more games. And Alexander Mattison was great when he got hurt when it really mattered for them last year going down the stretch. And – I don't know. I feel like he has zero leverage, and it was a kind of a strange move to me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
But that is that. Obviously, the other piece of news, Drew Brees issued an apology for what he had previously said about kneeling during the national anthem and those type of things. To some like wide criticism that the first apology was terrible, then eventually kind of got it right, stood up to the president for a fact, which is weird. It is just weird to me, but has at any point in American history the president been more involved with NFL football? Because I feel like Donald Trump above like everything, like I don't know. Like George W. Bush was never said anything about the NFL.
No.
Obama never cared about the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, like Obama did the WNBA bracket and the NBA bracket. I mean, not the WNBA, the NCAA brackets for both women's and men's. Like, but that's about it. Like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that the president cares as much about the NFL. But I mean,
you saw Goodell kind of speak out against him.
Yeah, it has been wild. What do you think about all that? Because it has been kind of wild to me, the gumption that Roger Goodell has shown.
Yeah, well, it's obviously a very controversial topic. So we'll just preface that. But yeah, well, the thing with Goodell, I really feel like that this needed to be brought to attention, and the fact that Kaepernick, I don't know. I really don't think he was kicked out of the league. I think he could have been allowed back in the league. I just feel like owners were scared to because of their reputations. But that's just really messed up that owners cared about that. Like, the NFL didn't – that like, Kaepernick wasn't doing anything wrong. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, which is the definition of being blackballed. So we agree there. And I didn't want to get too political, but I just thought it was kind of wild the last few days. Like, yeah. Roger Goodell has never been this, like, vocal about anything ever. And I really do think it came from that player video, which was so very impactful. And the fact that guys like Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were involved in that. And, like, Patrick Mahomes is the face of the league right now.
Yeah.
And it is – that was kind of, like, it was just a massive kind of moment, I think, in NFL history that we're looking at right now, where there's like a calculated risk being taken by the NFL, where there's obviously a segment of the population that doesn't believe in all the hubbub that is going on right now. And there is obviously a silent majority or whatever you want to call it. And to see the NFL kind of stand up to that and say we're willing to lose those people is kind of wild. And, like, I think it's awesome, because I think the NFL should have values and stand for something and follow the NBA's lead with what the NBA has done, things like that. So, yeah, I just – that – was the second piece of news. Sorry to go off on that tangent.
No worries. Brandon, no, I'll do you mind if I comment just a little more?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Well, I think Goodell is really trying to work on his reputation. I feel like it never was really bad, but I really think, like, that, I don't know, I feel like he's doing great. He's been doing great things. Like, he did a great job organizing that virtual draft. Like, that was done really well, in my opinion. I feel like to set that up that quick was really cool, to get in all the players' houses, record their reaction. That took a lot of skill. So, I feel like Goodell has been hitting hard lately.
Yeah, he has been. And that's just shout out, Raj. Raj, my man, we have wanted you on this podcast forever. So, if Roger Goodell, I will make sure that, as I do once every 2 months, that I at Roger Goodell from a podcast account, and, you know, nothing will happen, but
you never know.
But you never know. Maybe one day Raj will get on Twitter and he'll say, oh my God, this kid's been bugging me for 4 years now. Why don't I go on his podcast? But anyways, that'll be an interesting topic to bring up with, well, this is a time warp now. I have Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com on tomorrow. So I'll ask Greg if he ever thinks Roger Goodell would come on this podcast. So we'll see what happens. Well, let's get to Cardinals. And I guess I'll let you actually pick where we start. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's start at the second half of the season, because I feel like last season's maturity as the year went on, I feel like that was huge.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Down the stretch, the Cardinals looked like a totally different team. Let me pull up their schedule exactly, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It was actually around that Bucs game that there was a switch that –
They lost that game, but still, they turned something on that game.
Yeah, like the second half of that game on, the Arizona Cardinals were just a completely different team to me, actually. And I just – I'll be interested to see how that carries into 2019. Why don't you – while I – stall and pull up their schedule. Why don't you tell me how you thought that kind of played out?
Well, so I feel like Patrick Peterson coming off of a suspension was huge for the team because you've got your rookie corner covering guys like Julio. Yeah, they faced the Falcons. He had to cover Julio. He had to cover a lot of good wide receiver ones. So Patrick Peterson coming back was really huge, but he actually did have a slow start coming back, which he eventually picked it up in that Cleveland Browns game where he absolutely locked down Odell. And yeah, just the defense really, the defense wasn't great, but it started to keep their offense in the game and just let their offense do what they could do because the offense wasn't bad last year. I know Kyler Murray didn't have the best statistical year, but he did deserve to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He kept his team in the game. He didn't have the best talent surrounding him, but I feel like next year could be different.
Yeah, and just to hammer home that point, this was a team that was terrible the year before and had some blowouts at the beginning of last season. But from week 9 onward, they only lost by 30 or more points one time. A ton of these games are super close, like within 10 to 16 points. To me, the stuff that really stands out is obviously the win against Cleveland and that win against Seattle in week 16. That win against Seattle, particularly impressive to me. Anytime you can go into Seattle and especially play Russell Wilson, who by his own rights is arguably the best quarterback in the game right now, and take care of business up there in Seattle. That is incredibly impressive. And that was the Kenyon Drake. That was one of the Kenyon Drake games. Am I correct?
Yeah, that was the one where he had the 80-yard run. And I think he had 3 touchdowns that game, actually.
Yeah, I believe that was one of the Kenyon Drake games. So, yeah, that was crazy. The Cardinals were definitely a great kind of second-half team. So I want to transition here to my next kind of point. Obviously, they are the offseason darlings. There are a lot of teams that are offseason darlings. You could point to the Ravens, the Browns, all these different teams. But I would say, above all, the Buccaneers, obviously. Above all, the Colts. The Cardinals stand out to me just because of the addition of DeAndre Hopkins and the way that offense looks. So I want to turn away from the offense because I think it's easy to point to the offense at this point and say, oh yeah, things are going to be great. They've got a great wide receiving core with Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, and oh, who's the speed guy they got? Andy Isabella. Thank you. Who I have not seen a lot of. How did Andy Isabella play last year?
Well, reports got out that he really couldn't learn the playbook, which is kind of worrying. But he did have, I think, in that Thursday night game on Halloween, he had a 68-yard touchdown. But, yeah, he did have a couple big plays, but he didn't get the ball enough. And I don't know if that was up to the coaches. But, yeah, it's interesting to see if how much he'll get the ball this year and if he was just a bust. Because, ideally, we traded Josh Rosen for that receiver.
Which is crazy. Yeah. What do you think about Josh Rosen? This is a wide-ranging interview. This has kind of gone all over the place.
No worries. It's covered all. I'm totally down. But yeah, Josh Rosen, you know, he's a guy that it was really tough coming into the NFL right when you get drafted and say there were 9 mistakes before me. That's already concerning to me. And then to go into your first year and lead the worst team to the worst record, and then he gets traded to Miami, where things don't even get better there. So, I mean, the dude has had a bad start to his career, and I don't know. Maybe he gets a shot somewhere. Maybe he gets a shot this – no, he's not going to get a shot this year. There's Tua.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Josh Rosen's either going to get traded or he's just going to be out of the league. It's unfortunate.
Do you see what people saw in him coming out of the draft? Did you, are you a Josh Rosen believer? Because I think I'm one of the very few Josh Rosen believers left.
I respect you 100%. They said he was really good in training camp. He didn't have the most talented team.
And yeah, he got really hurt by that offensive line, which is great.
I think he could survive in a better system, but I just feel like with the situation he has, unless he gets traded, I think his career is over. Right. Or he just goes into free agency and someone signs him. But he deserves a second chance, absolutely.
Yeah, I would totally agree. The Patriots just – that makes way too much sense to me.
Oh, absolutely. Josh Rosen's a perfect guy for Belichick. I've said that before.
Yeah, just a – like – everything that it comes out, like, he is super cerebral and, like, even really though he's kind of, like, off the field, he had some antics in college. Like, he just seems like a Belichick guy to me. One of the reasons he didn't succeed a ton was obviously the offensive line. That improved a ton when you signed the Steelers guard. Not Andrew Villanueva, but that can't be right.
Steelers tackle, Marcus Gilbert?
Yes, absolutely. That's who I'm thinking of. Marcus Gilbert, obviously last season. I thought the offensive line improved. I would still say it's bad. So take me through the starters on the offensive line. Pitch to me why it will be better than last year. Because I just don't see how it improved that much.
Absolutely. So, I don't know if you knew this, but Marcus Gilbert actually didn't play last season.
Oh.
He sat out the whole last season, which most people didn't know. I know most people didn't see many Cardinals games, so that's totally fine. I'm not trying to be out here correcting you.
No, yeah. It's all good, man. I watch condensed Game Pass. I do not go through and count offensive linemen.
Yeah, you're good. But, yeah, Marcus Gilbert was actually out for – all last year. So we're actually going to get, hopefully, a full healthy season from him. We did just extend DJ Humphreys, who did look good against guys like Jadeveon Clowney at times and Nick Bosa. He looked pretty good. So he's pretty good at left tackle. And then at right tackle, you have either Josh Jones or Marcus Gilbert. That's just going to depend on who's going to have a better training camp / preseason. I don't know. Josh Jones was selected in the third round but had a first round. Great for all you draft guys out there. People had him going in the first round. And then for guards, you have Sweezy and Pugh, who are on the older side, which is kind of unfortunate, but hopefully they can play some good veteran offensive line. And then at center, you have Mason Cole, who's a lot better than people think, but he played all 16 games last year. And he was a rookie. Yes, he was a rookie. He played all 16 games last year, which is huge for a center. So, yeah, I think that the offensive line, it's DJ Humphreys was a little bit younger. He's getting better, and I hope we're just going to get a full healthy line, and who knows what could happen. Kyler Murray doesn't need an elite offensive line. He can scramble. He can get out of the pocket if he needs to.
Yeah. Well, that is obviously a fair point. I just would like to see a good offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Protecting him. So the offense, how long – obviously everything is – it seems like this has totally taken a backseat over the past 2 weeks. But we are in the middle of a pandemic, and there have been no off-season programs. And DeAndre Hopkins isn't used to Kyler Murray yet. How long do you think is it going to take to – see this offense worked out?
So I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So Kyler Murray played with a guy that a lot of people compare to DeAndre Hopkins, and that is CeeDee Lamb. And I really think that Kyler can be put into could be put into most offenses and play well with good receivers. I feel like there may be a little bit of a struggle, but I honestly don't think Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson are much different quarterbacks. I know they both are mobile guys. I know people may get mad at me, but I think Kyler has a really good arm, and I think he has one of the best deep balls in the league, and I feel like it's going to be huge for DeAndre Hopkins, especially if he can get open down the field or even just a jump ball. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the offense, it may be week one we might see some hiccups, but – who knows? A week one huge game by them would be great.
We'll push back just a little bit. CeeDee Lamb, I get the comparison, but CeeDee Lamb and DeAndre Hopkins, like, I do totally buy into, like, the personal connection between a quarterback and their wide receiver. And yeah. Kyler Murray has never, like, worked with DeAndre Hopkins. Have you heard anything about him? Like, I know I follow Denver very closely. I'm a Broncos fan. I know Drew Locke has been reported to have put his wide receivers together, and he's throwing with him. Is Kyler Murray doing anything like that this offseason?
I am unaware if they have thrown together yet, but I know that the team has been doing play walkthroughs and Zoom calls. So, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is learning the system. He's learning the playbooks. Mm-hmm. And I think they are doing things like that. So that's good.
I don't disagree with you. I think it could be very quick. They're kind of link up, but I do think those first 4 weeks are going to be kind of slow.
Yeah, that is fair.
I could totally see them taking a little while to get together. And again, being kind of a second quarter, second half team next year, which will be interesting to see how that all plays out. So that's the offense. Running game, boom or bust. Passing game, potentially awesome. To the defense. A lot of questions for me. Let's start in the secondary. Talk me through the cornerback group, because it concerns me greatly.
That is completely fair. But I don't know if you're aware, but former Falcons corner Robert Alford is actually –
love that guy.
He is a Cardinal, but he did not play at all last season either. So Cardinals were without Marcus Gilbert last year, 8 games of no Patrick Peterson, and then Robert Alford. So they did have a lot of missing pieces last year, which probably led them to being that bad. But anyways, at cornerback in the slot, you have Byron Murphy, who came off of a decent rookie year. He wasn't phenomenal, but he did show some sparks at time. He covered Julio pretty well. He had, I think, maybe one interception. But then you have Patrick Peterson, who finished really strong, and I feel like he was
really
out of trade talks. He requested a trade.
I would argue he was bad last year.
He was bad at the beginning of the year, but I know PFF will tell you that he was terrible. But like second half of the season, like 3 games after his suspension, he did play a lot better. Okay. That is just what I saw as a Cardinal fan, and I saw that his morale went up. I don't know if you knew this, but like he requested a trade, I think, a year ago, and he deleted all of his Cardinals stuff from his Twitter and like made it all LSU stuff. And then once we got DeAndre Hopkins, he changed it back to all Cardinals stuff, which was kind of weird. It's kind of a diva thing to do, but whatever. But yeah, and then so beyond that, you have Robert Alford. So
right,
I think the first three corners are decent. It's a decent three. But then you have guys like Kevin Peterson that nobody knows who that is.
Right.
Chris Banjo. Jalen Davis. It's just they should have went out and signed a corner this offseason, or they should have drafted one.
Yeah, I worry a little bit about the cornerback group, especially because in this, let's jump to Isaiah Simmons, especially because you're not playing Isaiah Simmons at safety. That worries me, because right now, and who knows? Maybe Vance Joseph has a totally different plan, which he could. But Vance Joseph, as a Broncos fan, I can tell you, has never used safeties properly before in his life. And I'll tell you this. I love Buda Baker. And if you moved Isaiah Simmons to play next to Buda Baker, that would, like, solve so many issues for that cornerback group, I think, personally. Or yeah. If you used Isaiah Simmons kind of as a nickel corner, I think that would solve a ton of problems secondary-wise as well. But he is currently listed as a middle linebacker.
Is that as of ESPN's depth chart, or what is it?
As of ArizonaCardinals.com.
ArizonaCardinals.com.
Okay.
Because they have him as – okay, yeah. So he would – they do have him listed as an inside linebacker.
Right.
But after the draft, I'm not sure how certain this is. I know they have him listed as that. I'm not sure if that's just what they have to list him as.
Right. I am curious to wonder – I just wonder, where do you think – that kind of leads to my question. Where do you think they'll put him?
I honestly think I could see them – I could see him playing safety. Vance Joseph did say right away he's going to have a similar role to his Clemson role. So, like, I have a feeling he's going to be dropping into coverage, spying the quarterback. Because keep in mind, he's in the NFC West with Russell Wilson. QB spying him. We don't have to worry about Russell Wilson's mobility anymore if Isaiah Simmons is that. But then also he could cover tight ends like George Kittle or Gerald Everett, those guys in their division. Like,
Will Dissly,
yeah.
Very good tight end, I think.
Yeah, underrated. No, I think he's good. He was a big fantasy guy for me, but he went down with an injury.
Yeah, yeah. Injured last year, but he was great. I would argue he was a top three tight end last year.
Okay.
When he played.
Bold. But I respect it. But yeah, so Isaiah Simmons, I feel like they're listing him there. I really don't think they're going to – if it's not going to work, they're not going to keep him there. He can play anywhere. I feel like everyone's mad that he can – play all a bunch. He has no true position, but he's phenomenal at all the positions. He played 100 snaps at 5 different positions last year in college. 100 plus snaps at 5 different positions, and he played great. So I don't know. I feel like he's gonna be great.
We'll see. We will see what happens there. I'm a big Isaiah Simmons fan, so I do think that you're right. I think eventually he is going to end up great. I just don't trust Vance Joseph at all. What do you think about the Vance Joseph experience? Have you liked it thus far? Because I didn't like it.
Well, so as a defensive coordinator for you guys, he was great. And you remember him as your head coach. He was a good
defensive coach. He still didn't use the defense quite properly.
That's when you guys had your best defense. I know he was a terrible head coach.
Had our best defense when Wade Phillips was in the
building. Okay. One of your better.
There was a steep decline when Vance Joseph took over, and it was the same players.
Yeah, I know. As a head coach, yeah, he was terrible. I don't know what, but as a
defensive. I'm just saying, I think it was the players that led the Vance Joseph defense for the Broncos. I think Vance Joseph had very little to do with that, from what I hear.
That's fair. Yeah. Well, I just feel like the Vance Joseph experience in Arizona, I just feel like you can't get an actual. It was his first year last year. He had 8 games with no Patrick Peterson. He had a rookie at your cornerback one. He had a rookie at safety. He just had a completely young team, one of the worst linebacking cores in the league, one of the worst D-lines. Like, they upgraded at D-line, which is great. They got Jordan Phillips. They drafted 2 other D-linemen. And that gives them some depth and rotational guys, which is huge. They drafted Leckie Fotu and Rashard Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they also signed Devon Kennard, who's probably going
to
be
That brings me to my next question. How do you feel about Devon Kennard being the number 2 pass rusher? That seems concerning to me.
Yeah, well, so they run a 3-4, so it'll be probably Zach Allen, Corey Peters, Jordan Phillips, Chandler Jones. Maybe Devon Kennard will play. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to utilize Kennard, because they also signed Devondre Campbell, who's a great coverage linebacker. He's not great, but he's a decent coverage linebacker.
Yeah, side note, let's just get into this really quick. I think that Chandler Jones has been snubbed for defensive player of the year like 3 years in a row.
Most
Am I right?
Since 2016.
Like, it is crazy how this guy just totally flies under the radar, and he leads the league in sacks literally every single year.
Even Madden, he's like an 88 overall. Like, what? Like, this dude has
– every year he puts up, like, 17 sacks. Come on.
Statistically, this dude's almost better than – I think he's literally – he's with Khalil Mack statistically.
Yeah, it is – yeah, it's wild how many people just don't know Chandler Jones exists.
Honestly, he could be a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm not even joking.
No, I think you're right. I think you're like 110% right. He is a Hall of Famer. Like, not might. He is. Like, the numbers he puts up consistently.
Yeah,
I think it's been like 8 years since he's had less than a double-digit sack year. It is absolutely wild.
Well, ever since he got traded from New England, he got better, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. And he was great with New England, too. I'm a big Chandler Jones guy. Think he gets snubbed for Defensive Player of the Year every single year.
Absolutely.
But that's just me. The defense. So, overall, the defense. How do you feel? Because I look at the Cardinals and I say, that's a great offense, but the defense doesn't look any better to me than it did last year. Well, that's a lie. Isaiah Simmons makes them slightly better, but still they've got like massive holes. I don't know how they're going to stop a run. I don't. And I don't know. I worry if I had to like grade the defense, I give the offense like B+, A-, and defense like C.
That's fair. The problem with the defense is they're a very young team, but at least now they have a lot more options. Like, they have a lot more rotational guys, and maybe one or two of them could stand out. You never know. Because, I feel like the thing that Isaiah Simmons brought to Clemson, I feel like he could absolutely replicate that in Arizona. He just makes the defense better. You know what I'm saying? It's not just, like, one player. He's everywhere on the field.
Absolutely. Well, Brandon, before I let you go here, and you are not prepared for this, I like to play a game occasionally with people I bring on for team-specific stuff. Give me one non-Arizona Cardinals take that you have about the NFL right now that you'd like to discuss. And if you don't have one, we don't have to, but I always think this is a fun game.
Give me 1 second. Okay, I got you. Ready?
Okay.
I think Richard Sherman is the most overrated corners in the game right now.
Oh, dude, that's hard. Dude, that's a hot take.
I'm not going to discredit his prime. I feel like he was phenomenal in Seattle in his first couple years of
season. You realize, like, he never got beat in San Francisco last year, right?
Except in the playoffs.
Like, one play? You're going to count one play to Devontae Adams in the middle of a blowout?
No, he also got burned by Sammy Watkins in the Super Bowl.
Again, one play. Like, one play a game, maybe. I just have a hard time backing up that argument.
You tell me one. Let's hear one of yours.
Okay, pick a division.
Okay. I'll just give you a team. How about that?
Okay.
What are your thoughts on Gardner Minshew?
Oh, thank you for bringing this up.
I love Gardner Minshew. I hope the best for him. I don't know if he's going to be great, but I hope the best for him.
It is the Jaguars are just incredibly interesting to me. I cannot find Jaguars fans on Twitter to get on this podcast, but I need to find a Jaguars writer. Like, I just need to find a Jaguars writer because – do you think the Jaguars are tanking?
I don't believe so.
No, they're not. Like, none of the moves they have made would suggest that they are tanking. Like,
the Jalen Ramsey move, but that was a year ago.
Like, they signed Joe Schobert for, like, a pretty big contract. Yeah. They drafted, like, really well for team needs. And they moved the Nick Foles contract. Like, I don't see how the Jags are tanking. Gardner Minshew interests me a lot because I have never bought in more to a quarterback hype video than I don't know if you've seen the videos of Gardner Minshew training.
No, I have bought into the hype, buddy.
Training this offseason, but oh my God, I am like 110% into Gardner Minshew might actually end up being like a top 15 quarterback this year. Like,
I hope he is.
Throwing against no one, he looks incredible. And maybe that's just me being hopeful. And I know they have basically no one to throw to. I like DJ Shark. We'll see about Laviska Shenault. I never thought he was used right in college. I think Laviska Shenault is like a huge question mark in general. So we'll see how that plays out.
Didn't they also get a corner early? I'm sorry.
CJ Henderson. Yeah, that was their first round pick. Yes. Shenault came in the second.
Also, last thing about that draft, talent-wise, besides maybe Joe Burrow, I think that you can put Isaiah Simmons at 2 behind Chase Young.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, you're not going to find any arguments here. I'm not a draft guy. Like, I have never claimed to be a draft guy in my life, but I just – one day, one random day, this is so funny, the backstory about – if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I'm a huge Isaiah Simmons guy. I bring him up – I brought him up, like, every – literally every single time I talked about someone, the draft with someone. One day, I was just browsing through the CBS Sports mock drafts, and it had, like, Isaiah Simmons going with Broncos at 11. And I was like, oh, I wonder who this guy is. And I, like, he was the one player I watched, like, tape of, like, legit tape. Like, I hunted down someone who gave me, like, pirated Clemson all 22. He is legitimately my favorite player. Like, I so badly wanted the Giants to take him at 4 just because I thought he'd be, like, a perfect fit for what the Giants need right now. But I am so excited to watch Isaiah Simmons. I really hope Vance Joseph doesn't ruin him. I'm rooting super hard for Isaiah Simmons. I think he's going to be the defensive rookie of the year. I think it's that simple. He's just a freak.
This isn't even bolder, but the type of position he plays, it sets him up to be a – if he can perform well, it sets him up to be a defensive player of the year candidate like every year. Because tackles, interceptions, and sacks, if he just loads up on those, which he can, he's primed for good things.
I just have a hard time. You just never see – who won the defensive player of the year this year? This last year? I forget.
Oh, it was Stephon Gilmore.
You just never see – unless you're Earl Thomas, you just never see safeties win defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that kind of worries me about that take, but yeah. But the Jaguars, which was where we were originally talking about, yeah, I like Gardner Minshew. I think that low-key, but I think Leonard Fournette is trash, but everyone repeatedly tells me to look at the numbers and that what I see on Game Pass isn't right and that Leonard Fournette isn't trash. So let's just assume Leonard Fournette isn't trash. They have Gardner Minshew. DJ Shark is pretty good.
D.D. Westbrook's all right as well.
D.D. Westbrook's okay. I mean, I think I've been trying really hard to decide who the worst team in the NFL is recently. And I always want to say the Jaguars, but I always kind of talk my way out of it. The Jaguars, but they are one of like two teams where if you told me, I believe almost every team in the NFL outside of two teams, if you told me, yeah, they're going to win 9 to 10 games, I would believe you. The Jaguars are one of two teams where I wouldn't believe that. So I do think they're going to be kind of bad this year, but I like Gardner Minshew. That's an interesting question. Who's the worst team in the NFL?
So my prediction for worst team next year, I know you're gonna slander me, but the Los Angeles Rams.
I just
no Gurley, no Michael Brockers, no Corey Littleton.
No, that's not right. They still have Michael Brockers. That deal didn't go through. That shocked me, by the way. You're not the only one that got fooled by that. I saw Michael Brockers to the Ravens, and then for like 4 months, I was like, oh, yeah, Michael Brockers is on the Ravens. And then I've been looking through rosters for all my roster studies and stuff recently. And Michael Brockers, like, that deal just straight up fell through. It was, like, super underreported. He's still on the Rams.
Whoops. Oh, yeah. Well, so, Corey Littleton. They don't also – well, I just – maybe not this year, but I feel like the Rams are primed for bad things. They don't have a first for the next 2 years.
I wouldn't argue they are not. I see your argument there. I think that Cam Akers is good, though, and I think Jared Goff's good when he has a good running back because everything in that offense was predicated off of play action. Absolutely. And I think Cam Akers is going to be good, and I think the offensive line is going to get better. But it also worries me because, to me, the offensive line is still terrible. And that, to me, that's what sunk him last year was the fact that that offensive line was just awful. defensively, I think you could argue that they have one of the, like, the top 10 defenses in the NFL. Like,
that's fair, yeah. They're always one of the first teams picked in a fantasy.
Like, it is crazy how much talent they have defensively.
That is true.
But, yeah, that's kind of a wild take.
They have lost a couple of big names over the years. They lost Marcus Peters. They lost...
Though I do agree they're the worst team in the division. I think that's pretty clear.
I respect that.
I think that's pretty clear. What do you think about the Seahawks? I'm definitely curious to see what the Seahawks offense looks like, because all offseason I've been saying, oh, the Seahawks aren't going to be that great. But I was watching, like, pre-Chris Carson injury Seahawks tape the last few days. And, like, if Chris Carson is healthy and they added Philip Dorsett and Philip Dorsett takes over the Tyler Lockett role and Tyler Lockett takes over the Doug Baldwin role and DK Metcalf is DK Metcalf again, like, low-key, that's like, and Will Disley, like, and the amazing amount of depth they have, not to mention, again, Russell Westbrook. Not Russell Westbrook. Wilson. What is wrong with me? Russell Wilson. As I mentioned, best quarterback in the NFL. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. I'm talking all weird.
Keep in mind, Jadeveon Clowney is still a free agent.
Which is wild. That's like, wild.
Devontae Freeman, which is also wild.
That's wild. But you're right. The defense, someone's got to talk me into the defense. But, like, if you could talk me into the defense, I could easily see the Seahawks going, like, 14-2 and winning the Super Bowl. Like, what do you think about that?
You know, well, as a Cardinals fan, I feel like they're primed for bad things. But, you know, they'll put up a solid season like they always do. I feel like they'll be a tough competitor. I feel like them or the Niners will win the division. I know you're going to hate me for this. I'm still not bought into Jimmy G with the Niners.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I can see that, like, that Super Bowl performance was concerning. But I also want to say that's just one game.
Yeah, I feel like that defense really carried them throughout the season, though.
That is true. They didn't ask Jimmy G to do a lot. And when they did ask him to do a lot, he kind of came up small. He's really interesting to me because I just don't know, like, who do they upgrade to? Like, there's just at quarterback. Look at, like, available quarterbacks, like Cam Newton.
Yes.
I don't think Cam Newton's an upgrade on Jimmy G.
You never know. Cam Newton was the MVP at one point.
I don't think Cam Newton's an upgrade on Jimmy G. He's like – and then maybe Josh Rosen, but I don't think Josh Rosen's an upgrade on Jimmy G. I just don't see any – I don't think Tom Brady's really an upgrade on Jimmy G. I don't think Philip Rivers was an upgrade on Jimmy G. Like, the fact that they were ever going to move on from Jimmy G, unless they could have somehow swung a move to move up to get Burrow or Tua. Like, there was no one this offseason that was better than Jimmy G, I would argue.
That's
available. So we'll see how that pays off. Plus, you don't need a quarterback in that system. Like,
yeah, you really don't.
You just don't need a quarterback.
Ball off 30 times a game.
You need someone that can throw, like,
screens,
a semi-accurate deep ball when you go four verts like three or four times a game, and someone that can throw slants really well and screens. So yeah, I believe in Jimmy G still. I think the 49ers are interesting, you know. But I think they're going to have a very hard time winning the division again. I think they're due for a bit of a fall off, but I feel very foolish saying that.
I honestly agree with you, because look what the Rams did after they lost in the Super Bowl. They fell off.
Like, and offenses carry over, but defense, like, year to year is so hard to replicate. Like, the defense will still be good, obviously, but it's not going to be what it was last year. Did they lose a couple
of guys on their defense?
No, I think they kept Jimmy Ward. So I don't think they lost anyone, actually. They traded DeForest Buckner, but then they replaced him with Javon Kinlaw.
Yeah, but I honestly think that's not an upgrade. It's just kind of –
it's a replacement. I think that is low-key the smartest move because, I don't know anything about the draft, but from what I've been told, Javon Kinlaw compares to DeForest Buckner. Like, that was so smart. They basically got a guy that they were going to have to pay, like, $13 million and got a rookie contract. Like, I think that was one of the most – low-key genius moves of the offseason. I think John Lynch is just a fantastic GM. I think he doesn't get enough love.
That's fair. Yeah, the NFC West is going to be the best division again. I get used to be when the Niners, Seahawks, and the Cardinals ran it in 2015 and 2016. It's going to be just like that.
What do you think about the Cliff Kingsbury experience? We didn't touch on this.
I think Cliff Kingsbury is a great guy. I think he's a great new young coach. I feel like he's a fun system to play for. Teams want to play for him. Players want to play for him. Like, they stress that. And I feel like his offense, he's very creative. And I feel like that creativeness, with especially his bond with Kyler, I feel like that's phenomenal. It would be – I really think that Kingsbury is not going to be replaced. I think he's going to be decent for years to come.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It will be interesting indeed. Well, Brandon, this was a ton of fun. I love that you flew with it at the end when we just started talking about, like, everything football-wise. I love that. I love when people take me off topic. Anything else you want to touch on tonight, or should we get out of here?
I just want to leave everybody with my two biggest sleeper teams for next year.
Ooh, all right.
So, they're both from the AFC. They are the Chargers.
Ooh, and agree. Hardcore agree.
And the Bills.
But, caveat, Chargers, if their quarterback is ...
I want it to be Justin Herbert, and I want Justin Herbert to be good.
Right. I think one of the craziest arguments on this podcast I've heard all year is from our friend Chargers Homer, who thinks that Tyrod Taylor is going to be great.
No way.
Like, that is just – isn't that like the most dumbfounded, like, wildly, like, hot take of all time? Like, Tyrod Taylor, no matter how good the surrounding cast is, has never been anything more than a checkdown machine.
Yeah. I've never seen, like, Tyrod Taylor make, like, a solid throw.
Yeah. I mean, impressive. You're right. He has never impressed me once in his entire career. Justin Herbert, if he's good, I think you're right. I think you're not going to get any – you're just not going to get any arguments from me.
Well, the thing about Herbert is what other –
I'm a huge Chargers guy.
What other offense could you go into? The Chargers offense is phenomenal. You have Eckler, you have Hunter Henry, you have Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. You have so much talent on that offense.
I forget who their slot receiver is. They always have great slot receivers.
Yeah.
They lost. Oh, and just going back to the 49ers, Travis Benjamin. Oh, my God. He's going to kill him at offense. Like, if there was an offense built for Travis Benjamin, it would be the San Francisco 49ers offense. Like, I 100% believe that. I have all this on my website at this point. If you want to check this out, dramaofitallsportsblog.com, my man. I have projected skills starters. I want to see who I thought was the slot guy for – who were we talking about there?
Chargers.
The Chargers. It'll be interesting because their defense, I would argue that they have – you could make a legitimate argument that that's the best defense in the NFL.
Oh,
I
absolutely. Think. There's talent all around there. And you have Derwin James, who's coming back to be healthy.
Right.
Derwin James is phenomenal. He's probably –
wide receiver 3 will be KJ Hill. So I don't – he's not proven, but who knows.
He could be good. You never know. But, yeah.
Who was that second team?
The Bills. And that completely –
The only thing that
found another Josh Allen believer. Oh
no,
my God.
No! I was getting to that.
Oh no, you're not a G. You're a Josh Allen hater too.
Yeah, I'm a Josh Allen hater.
I gotta take more of this. The only way this
is bad is if Josh Allen overthrows, underthrows. I don't know. He didn't look too amazing in the playoffs.
He's not bad. Like okay, granted, what everyone says about him is right. He cannot throw deep, but he misses literally nothing between 10 and 20 yards down the field.
That's what I'm saying. If he could get his deep ball down, he would be a phenomenal quarterback, and that team would be
phenomenal. I think you could still be a phenomenal quarterback if you throw for 15-yard chunks. I don't get this. Like, there have been – he is just like a higher-powered version of Alex Smith. Like, I don't understand the hate for this guy.
You're telling me Alex Smith was elite at one point.
At one point. I mean, if you can move the ball up and down the field consistently, I don't care how you do it. You don't have to be, quote, fun to watch. Like, you just have to move the ball.
That's an offense. That's not.
But Josh Allen is fun to watch because he is up there with Lamar Jackson, I would say tied at one for the best quarterback.
Do not compare him to Lamar Jackson.
His rushing ability is up there with Lamar Jackson. You just need to watch him play, my guy. Do you have Game Pass? You need to get Game Pass, Brendan. You could waste a lot of time on Game Pass, my friend. High school kids and Game Pass is a dangerous combination.
Dude,
community college.
I will take Kyler Murray over Josh Allen any day.
Well, yeah, but
okay. I appreciate that. Okay,
but
I appreciate
that. Josh Allen, I just think Josh Allen is a top 15 quarterback. Like people,
okay,
just,
that's fair.
I'll people don't realize that. Like, I'm not saying anything outlandish. I don't think he's in the top 10.
Some people think top 10. I'm like, eh.
But like, I don't know.
He just got Diggs too. Like, and he has that young tight end Dawson Knox. Like, that team is going to be fun to watch.
The popular take this offseason and the take everybody gets behind is trash Josh Allen. And I'm just done with it. I'm just done with it.
Well, it's because he's had back-to-back playoff appearances and he's looked terrible in the playoff games.
We'll see. Get Game Pass. That's my parting shot here. Where can people find you on Twitter, my man? Where can people find your stuff? And then let's get out of here. By the way, you're definitely coming back on soon and to talk non-Cardinals
I got knowledge beyond the Cardinals.
You and I gel, so we're going to get you back on ASAP.
But yeah, to find me, it's mainly just Arizona sports content if you're interested in it, to see like into the perspective, because you probably don't hear anything about Arizona sports ever. My Twitter is at @allazbaby. And yeah, thanks for having me today, my man.
All right. What an awkward finish that was. You can find us on Twitter at @EndZonePod. We'll have one more show out this week. and then next week, I'm doing a college football week. So go check that out as well. Thank you again, Brendan.
We will
see you all next time. Peace out.
See ya.
Follow us on Twitter at @EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.